Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to the Animagear Otaku Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Isaac Wolf, and joining me today is a good friend of mine, my the co-founder of the show, the one and only, always stuck in the Speed Force, Brandon Alvarado. How's it going, buddy?
What's up, brother? It's all good. Excited.
This is one of the show that Wagon's Evergarden was one of the shows that were one of the first one we covered for the show before we went over to YouTube, right? Or am I mistaken?
It's one of the first shows we ever talked about, period, period. Like, it's one of the first animes that we ever covered, which why it feels kind of awesome that now that this show is coming full circle, we're covering the ending. So,
yeah, and it's a special show because everyone that have seen it talks so highly about it, and for good reasons, honestly.
Definitely.
And it was more of it got even more talked about after. I don't know if you knew about the attack over at the Kyoto Animation. Did you hear about that a couple of years ago?
Hear about what?
The attack over in the Kyoto Animation studio.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do remember, yes.
So many people wondered if that studio would survive and all that, yes. So the fact that they did a comeback and did this movie is honestly pretty great. How should I put it? It's nice to see that they could spring forth and do something stuff, even though I've heard that many senior staff quit their job because they just couldn't handle the mental images from it. But I digress. But the reason I mention it is, it's knowing all that, it just makes it even more impressive of how this movie turns out to be, because I think we can all start about this with, this is one of the most gorgeous movies, animated movies, in quite some time. That much is clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prime example of an anime that you can pretty much pause every scene in. You can frame it up on a wall, and it can be a picture that you hang up or something. I don't know if I said it on the podcast before, but I literally have it, the Blu-ray box with the series that comes with postcards that is from scenes of the series, and I wonder
damn,
if
they're
going to do something. Yeah,
that is awesome.
I'm just wondering if they're going to do something similar to this movie once it comes out, because it could just be a nice touch. But
so you have the series.
Yeah, I have the entire series.
Nice.
It cost me very a ton. Nice. It cost me a ton. It cost me a ton, but I do own it, so.
That's awesome.
But to give you a quick synopsis, and it starts with a couple that goes through the dead, a recent passing of a woman that is connected to the main character, Violet, in the series. As she is the girl that she's Violet is meeting in episode 10.
And, yeah, it's one of the most heartbreaking episodes of the entire series.
We don't speak about episode 10. We don't speak about episode 10, okay?
Yes, yes.
We don't speak about it. I'm just gonna cry right now, thinking. Crying right now, almost.
But isn't it
about it?
But isn't it amazing how it's one of the examples of the level of storytelling that they're employing in the movie, or in the whole series,
yeah.
where they're finding the story. Like I like how this movie starts. It doesn't start like the previous shows, right, where you simply get a flashback and we just talk about Violet and we see her going on these adventures and impacting people. But now this movie, which I think it's the, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the working title, but this movie feels like it starts saying, this is the legend of Violet Evergarden. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to lay the groundwork of now it's not just this war hero / veteran, right? That was left aimless in life because the person that she would always get guidance for is no longer there. It's about the legacy that she has constructed for herself by just being kind, by just learning to transmit others' feelings while also discovering herself. And it is such a powerful way of starting everything, because I like how from the get-go they're telling you, they're pulling on your heartstrings and saying, we know why you're here. We know why you came back. So we're going to give you more of this.
And it was just worse for me because the way they approached the beginning with the dead Grant and all that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was very reminiscent on with how my family, to some extent, reacted with, or at least for my book, when I lost my grandpa last year. It just going through memories that I had with him, and what if I could have more time? If I had more time, wouldn't it have? And all that, yes. And it's just,
yeah.
This movie breaks me already. Am I going to survive this?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it definitely is one of those movies. Yeah.
So and when she when this girl who is researching about her grandmother, she comes across the history of the dolls that writes letters and gets to know more about this particular doll that wrote the letter to her grandma. Thanks to her dead mother as a means of telling her that your mother is always there with you and all that, yes.
Yeah.
And go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was sorry. But it's I was just thinking about it wouldn't have the same impact today doing some stuff like this, because how should I put it, everyone to some extent, can you just pretend to be anyone?
Right.
If that makes any sense. So it, so right, pretending to be your to be ex-parent or something, ex-person, that's something to help guiding a person why during the life is, it's kind of sad that we live in the, a society like that, honestly, because you would think that it would be, I don't know, maybe I'm just too old school in that regard, but it just, but as someone that wants to be a writer on my own, it, yeah, the whole idea of helping people through the means of letters like this, it just, it connects in some fashion, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but, it all comes, and it does make sense, Isaac. It does make sense. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but it does make sense. And I think it all goes back to the main theme that has always been the main theme of Violet Evergarden, which is the need of connection, the need of being able of people being able to connect to one another, and all the different things that we put in the way of that. You know what I mean? Whether it's arrogance, whether it's pridefulness, whether it's our own feelings, whether it's not being able to communicate, and the idea that these people, these memory dolls, put themselves in the middle of this to be able to be those mediums of communication. And what makes the story, of course, of Violet so amazing is that this is a person that cannot really communicate for herself. You know what I mean? This is a person that is ignorant to the world. And it is through being able or learning to communicate others' people's feelings to other people, she learns to know more about herself. She learns to know more about the world, more about the famous words that were given to her. And I like how it's never been about her legend. You know what I mean? It's always about her self-discovery. But because she cares about people, that's how she became known as this famous writer, this famous person, you know? And what a great way of doing it like this. And I like how this is one of the best intros of a movie that I've seen in such a long time. Like, there's so much right on this. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna say this, it's gonna sound pretty, but it's like, this intro is up there. Like the intro from Avengers Infinity War. Like that whole first scene with Thanos destroying Asgard's ship. You know what I mean? That is one of the best openings in a movie, period. Like, you can't get more powerful than that. You know what I mean? Because there's so much there. Like, it's like, for example, there's this character that we've been hearing forever in all the movies, and Thanos is like this big bad. Oh, what? We're supposed to be afraid of him? And within 5 minutes of this movie, we're shitting our pants. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the best things. That's why it's one of the best intros. Same things for this. Like, you don't see Violet anywhere. Like, you kind of see, like, yeah, you don't see Violet anywhere till you're like, what is it, 5 or 10 minutes in? You know what I mean? And even then,
I didn't want to check the clock.
But it's something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see her till like you're 5, 10 minutes in the movie, and there's a lot of silence because of this prayer that everybody's saying, right? But you know what this is about. You know what it's going to be. But also, what they also do that's very smart, apart from bringing us in with this story, is that this side story of the granddaughter discovering who Violet is and doing the exploration, it doesn't take too much time on screen. You know what I mean? Like, you see little glimpses here and there.
where yeah. this is going on in the future, mind you, because this all takes place in the future, like years after. But I like how it continues to add to the thread of what the whole, not just the movie, but what the entire series has been about. Connection. Finding the means yeah. to connect. And also the value of letters and this type of communication. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but
I would also argue that it's to some extent all about I would almost say hitting the reset button in your life and trying to restart the life as a whole, even though former life maybe not exactly haunt you, but it is an obstacle that makes it hard for you to move on.
If that yes.
makes any sense.
Yes, but the brilliant thing about that is that the only way you are able to move on is by connecting. You know yeah, what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's not till you're able exactly. to connect with the people that you need to connect to, or it's not till you're able to get off your chest what's keeping you, what's holding you, that you're able to move forward. And this movie is all about that. This whole series has been all about that. And I like how, story-wise, like, on one side, it has all the elements of a Violet Evergarden episode, but I like how the movie feels like something else. You know what I mean? Like, it truly feels like a new chapter. Because, for example, whenever the movie came out, like, a couple of years ago, Eternity and the Automator Doll, which is with the girl.
Did we cover that movie?
I think we did. Yeah, we did. I think we also covered the special. And then we have the special. All those feel like another episode, right? They all feel like a new season. This doesn't feel like that. Yeah. This feels like the next chapter in Violet's story and Violet's legacy. And I love how this movie does a great job of bringing everything full circle. Not just with the phenomenal animation and voice acting, but man, the story does not miss a beat. And it's like, and it's funny because I feel that they know that they have our hearts in their hands and they don't care. And they're just pummeling and I'm running out of tissues. So beautiful.
I mean, also, I should put it with all that. I don't know if you have seen it or anything, but I came across a video not so long ago about which can also be caused of why it is so emotional for people, but I came across a video about someone interviewed a war veteran that was stationed in Afghanistan.
A war veteran?
Someone that was stationed in Afghanistan for a while. About how he felt about Violet Evergarden, considering, well, she's essentially a war veteran herself. And I'm just paraphrasing here because the entire interview was, I think it was 1 hour and 40 minutes long and all that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he essentially said that it is one of the best, show in terms of how it interpretate someone that wants to go back to society after someone has been through something as horrible as she has been. Because He talked about how hard it is to understand society when they come home. It's like a totally different world. And it just, and I think they may, man, we all feel sorry for the, and it just that part that we want to help people that have it hard, so to speak. And I read the comment section on that just for the sake of curiosity, and there was more and more war veterans that just checked that wrote in that and said how much this series meant to them. Because how they handle it, because how Violet struggled and moved forward. And it can also be her challenge when it comes to her journey. Is also, even though it can also be applied to, it is applied, I wouldn't say implied, but it's executed in some in a way that more people, it's more approachable to people that is outside of the war spectrum, but they use the war, they are able to use the war spectrum in a more respectful manner than most other media right. They use,
right?
Just to give it the extra flair of the troubling nature that she has. It's because of the, because we all have baggage that makes it hard for us to move forward and all that. Yeah, in certain areas, I wrote a thread about why this series myself, because you know that I live with demons of my own, so to speak. And I think one line in particular is what makes this series and this movie in particular so connectable for people. It's when Claudia say, "You're going to learn many things in the future, although it might be easier to keep living if you never learn them." And it's... it just reminds me of it could be easier for the granddaughter to, maybe it could be easier for her to move over her grandmother's death if she didn't do the research, but she did, just to want to learn more about her grandmother. And that's her way to coping with it all,
right?
For Violet Evergard, I would argue that using the method of giving her the work of being a doll, writing letters, learning how to convey emotions, is a very brilliant way to being a symbolite for people trying to move forward. And this this is something I think they implement exceptionally well in this story, talking about how her journey has moved forward, how she still is, I don't want to say suffering, but she still isn't completely there, even though she has learned a lot.
Right. She's moved, and, she's moved forward, but she still has stuff to deal with.
And it's refreshing to see. It's, as someone has seen the entire series, it's refreshing to see someone... being able to move through her struggles and being able to I wouldn't say exactly 100% normal life, but getting in the right path. That's something that they execute excellently in this show.
Yeah.
Sorry that I got so emotional and all that jazz with this.
No. You're good. That's movie. What this is. That was this about. And I think the best thing that describes the way they treat the idea of being a veteran and all that stuff is that this is a very subdued, low key representation. You know what I mean? It's very quiet. You know how a lot of times when you see a veteran in the movies, it's always the brittle person in the corner or the very loud drunk, you know what I'm saying? Or the person that ends up hating the world. And not everybody's like that, but there's a reason to that. Like there's another way of talking about that without having to go to those extremes, because first of all, not everyone ends up like that. And two, they don't necessarily take that route in life by choice. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that happen. And a lot of people, a lot of them just need someone to listen and understand. You know what I mean? And I like how, especially the people around her at the postal company, like a lot of them don't necessarily understand entirely what she's going through, but they find a way of treating her like a person and caring for her. You know what I mean? And I think that's one of the other best.
I would argue that the closest one that knows what she's going through is Claudia, all things considered.
That and the president of the company, because he is also a veteran. You know what I mean? Even though he didn't fight.
So Claudia is the president. That's Claudia? Of the company.
What's the name? Oh no, Catalea. I'm you know what? That's my problem. I mixed it up with Claude, with Catalea, which is the other one, the leader of the dolls. I'm sorry, but yes, you're right, Claudia. Claudia Higgins. There you go. But yeah, I mean, but to talk to you about the movie per se, the whole thing with the granddaughter trying to investigate who Violet was in the future, I think was a very good touch, because it shows how far from what letters used to be society. And that's the other thing. I like how this movie also deals head on with the idea of how modernization and technological advancements to a degree are good and have better society, but at the same time, they've created a disconnect that a lot of times was fixed or taken care of by the old ways of communication. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, like the whole thing with the telephone and the letters, you know, or the idea that Iris had that one day they'll be out of a job because of telephones. You know what I mean? I like how telephones are good because telephones can save the day, which I'm not going to spoil what happens, but telephones can save the day in a very quick matter in a very dear situation, right? But a phone call is not going to create, probably doesn't have the same impact as a letter in terms of a long-lasting memory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like don't get me wrong. I owe internet and phones for having being able to contact with you and for us to start this pod and all. But as you pointed out, it's more personal with something like a letter than just writing on a keyboard or a telephone.
It feels like it has a longevity. And I like how this movie kind of plays to that. Like there's a longevity. There's an eternity to a letter that you may not find in another thing, in something else. You know what I mean? And I like how this movie does a lot of that. And I like how within this movie, there's like little episodes here and there of the whole, of like two more, you get like two more episodes of Violet, but then you get like the whole overarching story. I got to say it once again, because I think I say it every time we talk about this movie. I think I say this every time we talk about this show. The water effects of this show. Damn it. Like the way the ocean looks. There's a scene here with the fountain. The way the fountain looks. Rain. Like, I don't know, man. These artists are just talented. Like between this and like Weathering With You and Your Name, it's some of the best water animations I've seen ever. Am I making too big of a deal of this, or do I have a point?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's drop dead gorgeous, cute, and Kyoto Animation is easily one of the best studios working today, and which is considering the whole attack. But with all attack working today, it's great. It's fun knowing that they are able to do. I would go so far to say masterpiece in this regard.
Yep. 110%. 110%. So, I mean, if you guys have never seen Violet Evergarden, you got to watch this show. I would even say, and I just thought about this, this movie is actually very, very good. And it is so good. And is it just me, or did you notice that this movie is kind of structured in a way that even if you don't know what Violet Evergarden is, you can watch it and enjoy it? Like, you don't have to watch the series to enjoy it. Of course, it's going to mean a lot more to you, and you're going to feel more connected to it if you have seen the show. But you could get away with watching this movie and really enjoying it without watching it. Not that we recommend that, but...
I don't know, actually. I mean, it's easier to show than others. It's easier to watch this one and follow this one than, let's say, the My Hero Academia.
Correct. Correct, because that one is built for fans. Right, that one's built like for the fans that know who they are. Yeah. This is not that, and that's what I mean by that.
But I don't know if I would say that this works for people unaware, but at the same time, I'm torn on that regard, honestly.
And that's why I think it works, because to me I think the themes are very clear. It's not a complex mystery like kind of film. You know what I mean? It wears what it wants to be on its sleeve, and it performs it great. And not only that, it's just great storytelling. And I think because it's such great storytelling, because it's so much good storytelling going on. You really don't have to know everything. I think this is the kind of movie that you could watch, enjoy, cry like a little bitch about, and then go back to Violet Evergarden, the show, and cry a little bit more. But the best thing about it is everything's on Netflix. So you can watch everything there. And I think like every time we talk about this, we end up in the same point. Guys, if you want to watch something that's going to be an emotional roller coaster of the best kind of emotions, even though sometimes it hurts, it really ends up with you crying with a smile on your face. You got to watch Violet Evergarden. I mean, this show is beautiful. It's heartfelt. It's beautifully animated, voice acted, and it's just a stunning piece of work. And I'm really happy that Netflix has been the home of this show from the very beginning. And I don't know, man. It's just beautiful.
That's the postcard.
Nice.
I apologize for the bad pictures, but I just thought I could show some examples of it.
No, that postcard's awesome. That is sweet. That's sweet.
It's we have like it gave me about what was it, 6 or 7.
Nice, very nice.
Just figured that I can. Hey, at least it's something in line with the subject matter, not just some random pun that I conveyed over that the Cowboy Bebop episode. But that's besides the point.
Yeah, this is sort of serious. Yeah. The movie's great. The music, of course, is top tier. It does a great way of bringing her story full circle, which I think is what we all wanted. I don't think there's any way of talking about this movie without going into spoilers, but I think that the best thing I can say is if you love Violet Evergarden, the show, you're going to love the movie. You're going to love the movie. And I think it's hard to say, but I think it's safe to say that Violet Evergarden is a flawless series. Like, I don't have any complaints about it. I mean, it's just a very straightforward, good emotional series that is just sincere from start to finish. And I think it's one of those shows that it's going to surprise a lot of people, I think. I think personally, I don't think you and I ever imagined that we were going to be taken in this emotional roller coaster like we did. You know what I mean? It's similar like the end of Anohana. Like, you don't expect to just cry fiercely like you did at the end. You know what I mean? They just take you on a ride. And this one does it constantly. And all the characters are easy to connect with. The stories, even though they take in this faraway land or in this different time period, you feel that you connect with all these stories because they all deal with very human elements of connection, longevity, love, forgiveness. I mean, it's just an overall great show that I recommend to everybody. And I'm really happy to have found it and talked about it at the Amateur Attacker. Thank you, Isaac.
But, I mean, it's one of the shows that I feel deserves more love than it gets. Honestly, it's I don't know. I don't want to sound like a snob or something. But
you can't watch this because blah 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 blah. But then you're not gonna real and. Here,
an anime fan, but there are series that I do feel get sidelined in this. Granted, this is something that this is a series that connected a lot with me, so maybe it's sort of a bias. I'm not gonna deny that, but it just feels like this deserves more love than it gets. If that makes any sense.
Yep, I agree. I really honestly believe that a lot more people are missing out than the people that know what Violet is, and I really hope that a lot of people connect with it like we did. And if they don't like it, tell us.
But yeah.
I think this is one of those shows that is very hard to not like, especially if you love good stories. Because if one of the things that stands out of Violet Evergarden is the storytelling is just top tier. It's great.
But anyway, we are going to get into somewhat of a spoiler now. So just be warned now, because we got a Twitter question, so to speak.
Nice.
About Violet Evergarden. And it comes from Sierra the Hollywood study girl, Sierra underscore A727. And she asks, did either of you sympathize with Claudia at all? Not only does he witness Gilbert saying he doesn't want to see Violet and Violet breaking down, but he also goes back alone without a chance to watch over her again. Like, as a surrogate parental figure, I would feel so sad. Also, I gotta say that Gilbert really went the Clark Kent Superman route and decided Gilbert was an appropriate name. It was humorous to me. For some reason.
That is an amazing question.
Also, yeah. Yes, Sierra, the Gilbert part instead of Gilbert is a bit Superman slash Clark Kent.
100%.
I will not deny.
100%.
I will not deny that. And how should I put it with the other question when it comes to him seeing that, him breaking the. Her breaking down and seeing that his friend that he thought was long gone is refusing to see her again. It's just, how should I put it? Because I can totally see where he's going from there. He knows how important they are to each other. And he wanted them both to be happy in that regard. And he looks at his regrets at his friend is as his friend is hiding from his former life, similar to, unlike Violet, that has tried to move forward with her life. And like Sierra said in her question, he has become sort of like a surrogate father for her since she started working there. So the fact that he gets so protective as it does, on top of seeing her, seeing his friend acting like that, what it's understand his behavior is totally understandable.
Yeah,
in my regard, and to some extent, I think you can argue that it undermines the fact that Gilbert is alive. There is argument to be made that it might undermine Violet's arc of moving forward. But this is about learning how to move forward. The series is all about that.
Yeah.
And having this this was to show a side of someone that is instead of tackling the problems head on, this person had decided to run away and not fight the inner demons, so to speak, which is why the reunion become so heartfelt and working, because they are
although they are not 100% back with a new life, a goon, all that back, they have each other to help help moving forward. And they are the ones that they knows each exactly the best on how can support in moving forward. Claudia could only do so much because he took her in as somewhat of a I want to help my thought then dead friend. Sort of like spoilers for the first episode of the series, but he tracked down the precious thing she got from the major that she had lost, and spent the savings that he had just to get it back from the black market to her, because he knew how much that thing means to meant for her. So I can sympathize with Claudia with the how it all boiled down, because he was stuck with a what it's called, rock in a hard place. I think you can get what I'm saying here.
Yeah. Now, in regards to what was the name of the person that made the question?
Sierra A727. Sierra, the whole day study girl.
So, study girl. that was very Clark Kent, Superman of Gilbert. Gisbert. I mean, of course, only the people that you knew, right? That was funny. That was actually a very good pun. Unlike Isaac's. I'm kidding. but about Claudia, yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. Like he kind of, in a way, you can kind of feel like he ended up losing to a degree, or he ended up being the one that kind of lost at the end of everything. But at the same time, what I do find interesting is that to a degree, especially towards that final scene, or kind of in a way since the beginning, now that I think about it, Claudia has always been like the prototype of the audience. You know what I mean? He's been like that character that's like the audience's vision of everything. Like, he's the one that looks at Violet and goes like, ah, you know what I mean? And he sees, like, for example, and I think there's no other moment where we feel that he is our stand-in in the movie when he screams, "You're stupid," to Gilbert in the middle of the rain. Like, I think we all screamed Baka to him. You know what I mean? We all screamed that from the top of our lungs when he was being that way with Violet. But yeah, I mean, but at the same time, it is kind of bittersweet, the fact that he's no longer the person that was going to protect her. But I kind of feel that he feels good, because I think he feels accomplished in the sense that he was able to help in her search for happiness and completeness, and he was able to keep his promise to his friend, which was to take care of the person he cared about the most. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like a horrible westernized story. Like, he took her in and then he fell in love with her and then it became weird. You know what I mean? Like, he was like an honorable man from start to finish. And I appreciate that. You know what I mean? I think that's my take on that.
I Absolutely. Absolutely. It's this is easily going to be a day one purchase for me.
Yeah. Totally.
As soon as it releases.
Yeah, this is one of those things that if it ever leaves Netflix, I'll probably just buy it. 100%.
I mean, if you actually got the series got the release.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
I don't see why this movie wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we got, man. I think that's all we got.
Yeah.
On this. So, where can people find you, the great Isaac Wolf?
Well, you can find me over at Emblemaniac on Twitter, and you can find the pod over at Amateur Talk of Pod. And I'm currently working on... I'm waiting for my Super Mario Party review to be posted. I'm working on the Pokemon Shining Pearl review on top of Shin Megami Tensei Fire review. And hopefully my Horimiya review is going to getting done. And my comic book characters that deserve their own video game franchise that popped up in as an idea when the Wolverine movie and game on top of the Spider-Man game sequel got revealed. And nice. And if you're a big fan of My Hero Academia, we had recently an interview with the voice of the new character Road the Soul. It ran called Levi here on YouTube. And we also had an interview with Rob Moreira, the voice of Yuki Samar. I can't speak right now.
Yukimaru Sanada.
Yukimaru Sanada, thank you. I'm a bit tired, okay. But Rob Moreira himself, and which both of them is fantastic, two fantastic individuals that deserve all of they get. So
awesome.
You might want to check those out. And I was also part of a current episode of Otakuverse over at Geekly Goods, where we talked the live-action adaptation of Cowboy Bebop.
Nice, nice, very nice. You can find me on Twitter at ScarletFan52. You can find me on Instagram at ScarletFan52. And, of course, you can find the Amateur Otaku at Amateur Otaku Pod on Twitter. And we also live on YouTube, so make sure you click on that like button and click on the bell for notifications and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Amateur Otaku Podcast. And we're also available where all podcasts are found: Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found, you can find us. Thank you for joining us. Go watch Violet Evergarden. You will not regret it. But you are going to go through a lot of tissues. But you'll never regret watching the show. Have it awesome, guys. Peace.
Peace.